From WGCU News, this is Gulf Coast Live. I'm John Davis. Thanks for joining us. When it comes to treating patients with dementia, should caregivers be doing more to treat the person and not just the disease? Later this hour, we'll hear from Angel Duncan with the Neuropsychiatric Research Center of Southwest Florida about her newly published paper in the Journal of Neurology and Neurological Disorders. Through art therapy case studies, she demonstrates that despite cellular death in the brain associated with dementia, a patient's sense of identity and self-awareness remain intact. But first, the four-time Tony Award-winning rock musical Hedwig and the Angry Inch is coming to the Laboratory Theater of Florida in Fort Myers. The show first opened off-Broadway in 1998 and won the Obie Award and Outer Critics Circle Award for Best Off-Broadway Musical and quickly developed a cult following. It was also adapted into a film by the same name that came out in 2001. And in 2014, the show enjoyed its first Broadway production, starring actor Neil Patrick Harris in the role of Hedwig. The musical tells the story of Hedwig and how he escaped East Berlin before the fall of the Berlin Wall. That story involved a botched gender reassignment surgery and a whole lot of loss, betrayal, survival, defiance, gender dysphoria, and of course a lot of rock music. The Laboratory Theater's production of the show kicks off January 18th with a preview performance tonight at 8. The show runs through February 3rd, including 2 p.m. matinee performances on January 20th and 27th, and on February 2nd and 3rd. I recently sat down with several people involved in the production. Let's hear that conversation now. Joining me now in the final weeks of rehearsal is the show's director, Paul Graffi. Paul is director at the Studio Players in Naples and is an actor, director, and board of directors member at the Naples Players. He's also acted with Artist Naples and a number of theater companies, both in and out of Florida, including Great Lakes Theater, Guthrie Theater, Theater Zone, Naples Dinner Theater, and the MacArthur Theater Center, to name just a few. Paul Graffi, thanks for joining us today.
Well, thanks for having us. We're really excited to be here.
We're also speaking with the music director for this local production, Julian Sunby. Julian is also owner of Sun Jewel Records and Julian Sunby Music, which is a full-service audio and video production company here in Fort Myers. Welcome to Gulf Coast Live.
Thank you for having me.
And we're also joined by P.J. McCready, who plays the lead role of Hedwig. McCready is a teaching artist and director with the Alliance for the Arts Youth Theater Program, and he's taken the stage in a number of local theater productions, including roles in 33 Variations, First Date, American Falls, Into the Woods, Pippin, and Legally Blonde. P.J., thanks for taking the time to be with us.
Thank you so much for having all of us.
And actor Misha Ritter-Palomsky, I'm saying that right?
Yes.
Okay. She joins us as well, and playing the role of Yitzhak. Misha studied film and television performance at the New York Conservatory for Dramatic Arts. She's president of Vortex Talent Incorporated and works with young actors through the Naples Players Kids Act Youth Theater. Misha, welcome to the show.
Thank you for having us.
And newly Palomsky, by the way.
Oh, yeah. Congratulations.
December 8th.
All right.
Thank you.
She's cheating on me.
And today's conversation is being recorded ahead of time, so we won't be taking calls, but listeners can still connect with us. We're on Facebook at WGCU Public Media, or on Twitter, we're at WGCU using the hashtag GCL. And I gave kind of an intentionally very brief description of what the show is about, but would any of you care to expound on the synopsis of the musical for the uninitiated among our listeners out there? I mean, because I always think it's great for people to be exposed to new things, but Hedwig and the Angry Inch might not be the thing you want to come into completely blind.
Right. Well, I'll take that one. It's really a discussion of gender and what that entails. And it really – its genesis came from Plato's Symposium, and wherein he had Aristophanes and all the great minds of that time discussing the origin of love, which is one of the big songs in our show. And I think that your synopsis of the play was absolutely spot on.
Well, I don't want to give away too much.
No, but it is that. It's surprisingly universal. When I had the pleasure of directing this 10 years ago, and my father came to see it, and he was in his mid-80s. and certainly not a rock lover or, you know, and that's a real scene. I mean, it's a rock concert. And that was actually my favorite show that I'd ever directed that he saw. He was laughing. He was crying. He was it's the entire package. It's just it's all human.
Yeah. And what made you want to direct this local production? And I'm going to ask all of you a similar question based on your roles.
Well, I felt there was, you know, I'm 10 years smarter than I was, and I have a 10 years more experience, and I feel like I understand the play so much more. We're coming at it from a very different perspective than we did the last time. It's still a rock concert, but it maybe it's a little bit of a conceptual production so that we can really dig into the psyche of Hedwig. And I think the first time around, I didn't really understand the character of Yitzhak very well. And that was something that was really important to me to get right this time around. Mm-hmm. And I think we're doing a great job with Misha and PJ in those two roles, because Hedwig can be played by a man or a woman. He is neither man nor woman.
Yitzhak is typically played by a woman, though.
Yitzhak is a man, always played by a woman, but he is a man. And he was a famous drag queen in his time. And through their – and they have subsequently married. It's just very interesting. Everything is sort of turned on its ear in this. And you just start to understand really where the writers are coming from with everything being on a spectrum and what is, you know, sexuality and –
Well, I hadn't planned on delving too much into Yitzhak right off the bat, but since you brought it up, let's go there.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, Misha, this character is very different from what PJ has to do, because PJ's got a lot of lines. He's center stage a lot. And a lot of what you are doing is portraying this character in much more subtle, nuanced, and a lot of times it's a wordless performance, kind of.
Yeah. I mean, the character doesn't really talk much. It's mostly facial expressions, which is good because I do that in my daily life. Just I don't always know what my face is doing, which is really great because I'm always paying attention. But yeah, the character, it's really – I mean I feel like he, you know, has this voice. He has this whole life that you don't always get to see as the audience members because Hedwig is so overbearing and, you know, not – in a bad way, but also, you know.
He's oppressive.
Yeah. And so Yitzhak doesn't always get to voice, you know, what he wants to say, what he wants to do and stuff. And there's kind of certain moments that we found where it's – you get to kind of see his personality of, like, he's kind of cheeky and he does love Hedwig. There's – you know, you can see the moments because otherwise it's just, all right, I'm sitting here, you know, I'm part of the band and I – sing back up and stuff like that. But we have found, you know, Paul has found a lot of really great moments. We actually found a really great moment yesterday that I'm not going to spoil. Yeah. But, you know, during rehearsal, we got there and it's, you know, the character, it's so because he doesn't talk that much, because there's only like one word lines every like few page monologues of Hedwig's. Yeah. It's really like it's a full nonverbal role, which is really cool to play, to just really get to listen to what PJ's doing and watch what he's saying and doing and reacting to all of that.
Yeah. I'm wondering if you would ever like rehearse with a mirror, just because so many of your lines are just what your face is doing.
Right. I would be honestly afraid of what my face was doing because I don't know what it does most of the time. Yeah. So it'd be like, oh, that's what I'm doing there? No wonder I look upset.
That's what Paul's here for.
Yeah, yes. Yeah.
Yeah. I don't think we're good judges of.
There's a lot of times where he's like, are you confused about that? And I'm like, no, why? Is that what my face said? I'm sorry. I'll fix it.
And the first time I saw Hedwig, and I've only ever seen the film adaptation, so I'm so excited to come out and see. This will be my first time seeing a live production. The first time I saw it, I remember thinking, like, poor Yitzhak, like, he reminded me of, like, Eponine from Les Mis. Uh-huh. Like, in the sense that he's in love with Hedwig, and Hedwig is on this journey of self-discovery and not really in a place to kind of be able to return that love.
Yeah. That's a very good comparison. I mean, there is – you can tell that – I mean, playing Yitzhak, you know that Yitzhak loves Hedwig. You just know. And there is the question of – I mean, because you see how kind of like abused that he gets. And there's the question of why does he stay? And you gotta find that Hedwig totally loves Yitzhak. But it's not always verbal. It's not always obvious to the outside eye. And you gotta find the reason why he stays and why he keeps continuing on. And there's something, you know, in the songs and in some of the lines and stuff, I found just listening to how PJ delivers it, it's like, there it is. There, you know, I have like a tally of, okay, there's why I'm staying. There's why Yitzhak stays. There's the love, and there's the like this hurt person that puts on this show to not show the emotion, to not show the hurt. And Yitzhak is there to be like, okay, well, I'm here when you need me. And I've been finding some of the things that I sing harmony to. It's so specific in the words
that
it was chosen that Yitzhak sings just these words. Yeah. And it's so specific of, listen to me, I'm saying these things to you. It's really cool to like find those little things.
And PJ, tell us about the experience of playing Hedwig, and I guess just what first attracted you to even want to pursue this role.
I first heard about this show maybe about 6 years ago, just listening through music, and I found the song Origin of Love, and I was like, this is beautiful. What artist wrote this song? I had no idea it was even from a musical. And I just discovered kind of Hedwig, and then I watched the movie, and then about that time was when the Broadway show was going up with Neil Patrick Harris. So then they had a whole other, you know, cast about it. John Cameron Mitchell, who wrote the show and who starred who was the original Hedwig, did it for about a year and a half off Broadway. And most people don't know, when he closed Hedwig, he stopped acting for about 15 years.
Really?
Yeah. He was just exhausted and tired, but he felt like nothing was going to beat it. This character is just one of the highest, I think, male roles you could ever get to play. But you look at someone like, you know, John Cameron Mitchell and, you know, Patrick Harris and Darren Criss, and Hedwig is normally played by someone who you could see as a woman, someone who's petite or small. You know, Darren Criss, John Cameron Mitchell, maybe like 5'9". Mm-hmm. And I'm 6'6" and 215.
The beard's going to have to go before.
Everything has to go. Eyelashes down has to go. I'm still debating if I'm going to like make a video of it. But so I never thought I was going to be able to get to play this role. It was just one of those things, which is, I feel like as an actor, there are types that we have to fit into. And that's kind of just the mold of being a performer. And there's this thing of Hedwig and with John Cameron Mitchell of where he says, like, Hedwig is whatever you want her to be. She can be any age. You can do anything with it. You can't – he gives that blessing of, you can't take anything away from the show. Like, you can't cut a song or a line, but you can add, you can improv, you can do whatever you need. He's very good about letting artists be artists, and he doesn't want it to be a strict piece of, like, you know, some, you know, writers of shows are like, you must do the show this way. There's only one way it works. And Hedwig is just Hedwig. And the thing that attracts me most to the role, or the thing that I take away, is this show is just about love for yourself, for others, for families. I think Hedwig and Yitzhak's relationship is Yitzhak is not any different than Hedwig. Hedwig starts is this little boy who doesn't feel good in his body and tries to find something and continues to search for love in other people. And follows other people blindly because he loves them. And I feel like Yitzhak does the same thing with Hedwig. And Hedwig just doesn't know how. It's that RuPaul thing, like, if you don't love yourself, how the hell are you going to love somebody else?
Mm-hmm.
And all I take away from this show is you have to love who you are and everyone else in the world, good, bad, or indifferent. And that, to me, is one of the most healing things about this show. Is the thing I carry most in this world is I feel like the world needs so much love.
More now than ever.
When I at the Alliance Youth Theater, we have a little bit of family, our little family of kids there. We've got about 150 kids within our program. And at the end of every rehearsal, we all tell each other we love one another. It's just this family environment that I really try to instill more love in this world every single day as I can. And Hedwig, I think, is just one of the most beautiful vessels of that.
Well said.
Which is interesting because throughout most of the play, he's really an angry, embittered, cruel creature. But she treats Yitzhak the way that she feels treated.
By Johnny Gnosis, by Luther, by life.
Right. Yeah. And the Johnny Gnosis thing is really goes back to the whole symposium thing about finding our other half. So, you know, Johnny Gnosis being the other – his creation, but his other half, his of the other part of Hedwig, and the part that's more relatable to the outside world and pop culture and all of that, even though Hedwig is the genius.
Yeah.
You know, there's a lot of pain and a lot of pathos, but my God, it's a lot of humor.
Yes, it is.
It's just the funniest, dirtiest jokes ever on stage.
Yeah.
And even back in 1998 when this premiered, like when punk rock didn't, you know, involve musical theater and the word trans was never uttered, this kind of show just ushered in this amazing audience and people who see themselves in Hedwig. More people know about this show than I think or than I thought, because this character is so much in every single one of us that it for me feels like an honor that I just get to like be kind of part of this little legacy of a show that's not produced a whole lot.
Yeah, she
definitely resonates, and audiences do find it. There are people who chase productions of Hedwig, and they'll come two and three times, and it's the greatest party that you can participate in.
Well, I definitely want to bring Julian into the conversation, who's been sitting quietly here, and just turn to the music for a minute. And there's more I want to unpack here too, but it's odd for me because, you know, I have nothing against musical theater, but there's never really been, aside from Hedwig, like a soundtrack that I would just listen to on its own.
You're not jamming to Passion?
No, exactly. But when the film first came out, I mean, that really, I would listen to that on heavy rotation in my car. I'm kind of wondering, and I'm going to start with you, Julian, do you have a favorite song from the show?
Oh, man.
It's very difficult. I think the first song I heard was from my wife, Lucy. She played Yitzhak back in the day. Actually, I think.
Directed it.
Oh, yeah, back in the day. And she played it for me and said, what do you think of this? And it was just a strong, powerful love ballad that has strength and starts rocking out. And it just shows Hedwig's character in that the search for love is based upon what, you know, she has to find out. So to answer your question, the origin of love, it's a great one. Sugar Daddy's pretty sassy, and there's a lot of great music.
Paul, what about you?
I think almost everybody would probably say the origin of love is the most accessible of all the songs because it really cuts to the heart of the piece. But I happen to love Midnight Radio, the closing anthem, and that just – that and Exquisite Corpse both really grab me. They're just very evocative.
PJ?
It changes for me every day. I love to sing Origin of Love because it's just the most beautiful power ballad that there is in the musical theater canon. I really love Wig in a Box.
Me too. Yeah.
I think it's fun. I get to like rock out as Tina Turner kind of at the end, and Lord knows I love me some Tina Turner. And it's a nice little like kind of like fun little break for me because she doesn't always kind of get to just jam out and kind of just be fun and free in her songs. So that's always a really nice little fun moment when I get there. Also, it's intermission, so I'm like, oh my god, I made it through all the first.
Gives you like a goal to hit.
Yeah. I'm like, I made it on stage, 55 minutes. I have 6 songs in. I've done 14 monologues, and I can pee.
What about you, Misha?
Oh, this is such a hard question. Trying to think of like before I was this role, which one? Because I think I listened to all of them and I fell in love with Origin of Love because of the meaning behind it, because I never really thought of things that way before I heard the song, and it kind of something like a light switch happened in my head and I was like, oh, wow, that's really deep. But like as Yitzhak, The Long Grift, because like it's my song and it's so freaking emotional. But
yeah, we gave that to Yitzhak in this production. It's usually sung by the band leader. Skizip. The man with no vowels.
No vowels. I think it's – I don't know. I really love Exquisite Corpse because it's so raw and there's so much dissonance and it's like just gritty and kind of horrible to sing, which I love. But like then Sugar Daddy's like real fun because it's like it's just – you're just having fun and it's just like innuendos and like just jumping around and like playing with each other.
Yeah.
And it's really fun. So I don't know. I don't know that I have an answer. Like every song.
Well, and since, you know, this is like a lot of, you know, rock music, you know, it's different musically from putting on a more traditional style of musical. Tell us about some of the challenges that kind of go into that from your perspective as the music director, Julian.
Well, I love producing rock and roll,
okay,
just for starters. So it was as much a challenge to put that on stage as it is to take what other productions have and make it still a rock show. What this is a rock show with depth.
Yeah.
You get to know the characters. You know, you don't see what a publicist puts out there on a rock star. You know, somebody was kissing somebody. You are in this band. You are seeing what the band members see. So it's not just a rock show. It has depth and it has love and it shows you who the lead singer is, but it also shows you who the backup singer is. I've seen in a lot of bands relationships, but this is one where you get to know what Hedwig is thinking. Mm-hmm. It's beautiful because you get to see what love becomes within a band setting as well as within yourself.
And the band really creates their own characters, actually. We have a really terrific band.
Exactly.
But they design their own look and what they want to express with that character. And even though they don't have lines or anything, but they're on stage and interacting the entire time. Yeah.
Interesting. And you guys, of course, perform your own instruments. No, I'm way too much to ask.
One more thing.
I will try.
Shaker.
Yeah, I've been trying to get – I have a shaker, so I've been trying to get myself into that like with a shaker egg. We're still seeing if Julian will let me do it.
Yeah, but you wanted to use a tambourine at some point.
Well, yeah, because on Broadway, Lena Hall and like all of the Yitzhak that followed, they all did the shaker egg and the tambourine for like every song. Yitzhak was on tambourine, and it was like, oh, that's really interesting. I don't even know if I can play tambourine, but I was like, I'm ready to learn. Obviously. Like thinking that I was gonna have to, and I was just talking to Julian about this yesterday. I was like, I will. If you want tambourine in there, I will totally rock out tambourine.
It's a lot harder than you think.
It's
though.
Totally, yeah. Like, just learning shaker, I was like, it's not possible because my husband's a drummer. So it's like, I'm getting critiqued and it's like, I'm trying. I don't know how to shake an egg properly. I'm sorry.
I've already got Paul yelling at me. I can't have my husband, Paul, yelling at me.
Yeah. Too many Pauls yelling.
I play the bagpipes, which is a new kind of – no, I'm just okay. – like, wow. The end, I'm just playing, like, Danny Boys.
Oh, we should pass that. There we go.
I have so much breath left.
Well, and PJ, you kind of touched on this earlier. You know, the show first coming around in 1998. Of course, it's been called ahead of its time.
And Waka Waka.
Well, I just think that's interesting that, you know, you had this show that really was dealing with, you know, not like an LGB character, but a T character. Like the transgender people, I think, mm-hmm. historically have mm-hmm. sort of felt like they're sort of like the afterthought of mm-hmm. the LGBT movement. The T's even last. And this is a show that deals, you know, specifically with gender identity and not so much sexual orientation. Because, again, going back to something you were saying, Paul, it's really just about sort of everybody and all the sort of journeys we go through trying to figure out our own identity.
We are. It's that whole yin-yang thing and the comedy tragedy mask. I mean, we're all everything. We don't embrace it culturally, but we really are all everything.
I love the symbolism of even the Berlin Wall coming down. Mm-hmm.
Totally. Mm-hmm. Totally. And which is really interesting that historically, you know, we're going into a period where instead of tearing down a wall, we're building a wall. And, you know, the whole story of his first line is, "I'm the new Berlin Wall, baby. Come and tear me down."
Right.
And, you know, it's very prescient that it's happening, you know, right now with this whole wall debacle.
I also kind of thought it was interesting. You know, I was doing my homework preparing for this interview and, you know, you'd been talking about, John Cameron Mitchell earlier and just the journey he had to go on writing this. Like initially, I think Johnny Gnosis was to be the main character and Hedwig was based on a babysitter / prostitute from Junction City, Kansas.
He kind of just had this like – he started out in like a drag rock and roll dive bar just as like a character of Hedwig before there was anything. And I think he had like Wig in a Box and Tear Me Down and he kind of just performed it as this performance art type of piece. John Cameron Mitchell and Stephen Trask who wrote the music and lyrics – and they kind of just collaborated. But John Cameron Mitchell his dad was in the army and they lived in Germany.
He's an army brat, yeah.
And he had this babysitter who was a babysitter / prostitute.
You know, like you do.
Like you do. You know. And he, like, he didn't realize it as a kid until he got older that, like, oh, yeah, she would watch me during the day and then, like, go back out to her trailer and then, like, hook at night. And then he just always had this image of this woman who's not exactly based on Hedwig. It's kind of a little bit of him and her and everyone. But it is it's weird to perform in a role that was written specifically for someone who also then played it.
Yeah.
And on such a large level.
Big shoes to fill before you even get to Neil Patrick Harris.
Before you even get to Neil Patrick Harris, man. Like,
well, then it went back to John Cameron Mitchell.
Yeah,
right.
So.
Yeah.
Oh, Dexter played.
Oh, Michael C. Hall.
Yeah. He was terrific in the role. And actually, what a lot of people don't know, and one thing that I had really toyed with, and actually, if I ever am lucky enough to do it again, I would like to do Hedwig with a woman playing Hedwig because it's a genderless role.
Right.
And Ally Sheedy played a very famous Hedwig.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yep, mm-hmm. She did. One of the first. And handpicked by John Cameron Mitchell and was apparently epic.
Oh, yeah. Well, Lena Hall on the tour, who played Yitzhak, would do Yitzhak for 7 shows and then play Hedwig for 1 show every week.
Interesting.
Could you imagine all those lines?
No.
No.
Well, it also just adds a whole nother level.
Yeah. So
Yitzhak was played
by a woman as well. So it was two.
Well, and I like props to the woman who played Yitzhak with Lena Hall because they transposed everything a little higher to be in Lena Hall's range. Mm. So like Yitzhak's part's already like up in the stratosphere.
Yes.
And then you go up like 3 steps and there's birds exploding outside. It's like, all right. I could not do that.
I know. The belt that the chest belt is so high as it is.
Yeah. And Misha gives you, like, she gives you mix. She gives you belt. She gives you head voice. She gives you backup harmony. She makes her up her own harmonies. Like, it's just, ugh.
I try.
I can't. Sometimes I'm like, I lose my train of thought because I'm listening to Misha do Misha.
Yeah.
Or Misha do Yitzhak. And I'm like, God, she legitimately made me cry yesterday in rehearsal as Hedwig or as PJ. But it's just, it's truly both.
Which then I was crying.
Yeah. God, I couldn't imagine doing this with somebody else.
Yeah, I think one thing that she's found very clearly is, not just to sing because the score says to sing, which, by the way, if you've ever looked at the score, it is the most god-awful thing that you've ever seen in your life.
It's all handwritten.
And you're like,
why does it have to be these words?
And it's not the only one that's handwritten.
No.
I'm doing Into the Woods with the kids right now, too. And that's all handwritten. Like, we don't. MTI needs to make someone's job. I'm like, no.
I'm like, please get the published one. They're like, that is the published one.
Yeah.
More fun for the music director. Yeah.
I'm like, what is this word?
This isn't a word. This is a scribble.
This is a scribble.
Yeah, but it's the point is that, again, the need to sing back up there because she's so taken with his story, mm-hmm. and that's where the love comes in, is she's trying to help him express himself, and that's her gift to him. And it's a very unrequited relationship. I mean, she loves him and he does not love her, or he does, but in his hurtful way. But he comes full circle.
Yeah.
You know, his epiphany at the end is.
Yeah. I feel like it's
love,
like,
for her and lets her be her finally.
Yeah. The reasoning behind a lot of it, it's like not to like make it not like this big thing, but like the way in my head, it's like, I'm here too. Like,
yeah,
kind of like, hey, you don't have to put this all on yourself, which I find, you know, in any great relationship, it's like that's what you feel with the other person. It's like, hey, you're going through a lot of stuff, but I'm here too. I can help you. Like, put some of it on me. And I think with this character, Yitzhak is doing that. It's like, you can put some of this on me. And I think Hedwig is – she's in this – this is my past, and I'm still stuck in my past and all of these things that didn't really have a resolution,
yeah.
I guess. You know, with each character, you know, with her dad, her mom, her
make choices.
No, with Tommy and with Luther, you know, there's all of these things that she didn't get to choose what her fate was. She didn't really get a resolution with some of these people. Like, Luther just left her after coming to America, and it's like all these things. So she's doing what she knows, not to trust Yitzhak, not to like put trust and put herself onto him, but Yitzhak's like, hey, you can do that, I'm here. And I think this is kind of like piggybacking on something that came way earlier in this conversation, but what I really love about this, I've been trying to describe to people, is like, if you're listening to the words of this show, and you listen to the characters that you meet, yes, there's only two of us on stage, but you meet a lot of people through Hedwig's eyes, and there's going to be someone you relate to. There's going to be someone that you're like, oh, I feel that, or oh, I know someone like that. There's someone in your life that you can relate that to. So it's a very relatable show, and definitely was ahead of its time, but like definitely is, I feel like, has caught up to its time.
Yeah.
With everything, with gender, with sexuality, with music, with politics, you know, everything just kind of caught up to it in our era now.
Yeah.
Well, it's interesting because the gender and sexuality aren't necessarily the lead story anymore.
Right.
No.
Right.
Yeah.
You know, we've sort of passed that. Mm. So now it's just sort of part of the nomenclature, and we're, you know, experiencing it. And so for me, just 10 years out from the last time I did it, it's just so very different of an experience.
Yeah.
You know, I learned so much the first time I did it, but I've learned equally as much the second time.
And I have to give a shout out to this show is more produced now because of the Broadway show that they theaters that would normally do it, there might be an audience for. But it hasn't been produced here in 10 years. And the Laboratory Theater of Florida continues to put forth shows that aren't Sparkle, Holiday Joy, Everyone Has a Happy Ending, mm-hmm. Or mainstream productions. They give such a great outlet to artists and shows and to really dive in and tackle the success and bring whatever they need to for that role, which doesn't happen a lot.
Right.
No, it really doesn't. Now she's Annette Trosbach, who is the artistic director, just really does a remarkable job. I was wearing two hats during this because I was performing White Christmas, which is about as
opposite.
Yeah.
Opposite vanilla.
Completely
and
other
rehearsing
spectrum.
This during the day, and it was a little bit of Chinatown, sister, mother, sister.
Sure. Yeah. Well, I think we'll leave things on that note. That's perfect. No, but I can't wait to come see the show. And thank you so much for coming into the studio and speaking with me today. We have been talking with the show's director, Paul Graffy, musical director, Julian Sundby, actor P.J. McCready, who plays the role of Hedwig, and Misha Ritter-Polomsky, who plays the role of Yitzhak. And, of course, this is the Laboratory Theater's production of Hedwig and the Angry Inch, which opens January 18th and runs through February 3rd. And of course, if you want to see tickets purchase tickets or see more information about it, go to laboratorytheaterofflorida.com. Thank you all so much for being here.
Thank you all very much.
Yes, we appreciate it.
We're taking a short break, but when we return, Angel Duncan with the Neuropsychiatric Research Center of Southwest Florida joins us in studio to explore her newly published paper in the Journal of Neurology and Neurological Disorders titled Identity and Memory, Ascertaining Consciousness Beyond Dementia. You're listening to Gulf Coast Live from WGCU. Stay with us.